here in this room?
Stuck.
Kids go down, they have fun, they eat candy, they do all kinds of things. They get a Bible story, or they get preached at also. James every week asks me what I'm preaching. He tries to give them somewhat, not the same message, but something along at least that subject line to the kids, so they kind of get something along with the parents. So that's a good thing. We certainly,
amen.
I think that's good that the parents get something and the kids get something very similar.
Amen.
And you could actually ask your kids, so what did you learn in junior church today? You should be asking your kids that.
Amen.
What did you learn in Sunday school? What did you learn in junior church? You should be talking with your kids or even grandkids about, you know, what are they learning? Don't you want to know what they're learning?
Amen.
Don't you want to know what they're learning?
Amen.
Of course you do. Some of you, you have kids in school and you want to know when they come home, hey, what'd you learn today? Kathy always asks me, grandkids, what'd you learn today? Usually nothing. Went to school all day and you learned absolutely nothing. Or I don't know. Yeah, that's the other thing that they hear. I don't know. That's a standard phrase out of most teenagers today. So I don't know. Anyway, are you there yet?
Yeah.
Matthew 18? All right, two verses, stand. Only two verses. This is easy. I'm going to make it easy for you. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Matthew 18, 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? He thought he was doing a real good job there saying seven times. I'll explain that in a minute. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Father, bless this message and use it for your honor and for your glory today. Please, Lord, we need this message. We need to hear this. Lord, you made it very clear in the scriptures about this subject of forgiveness. And so, Lord, I pray that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Peter came to the Lord and said, Lord, how often should I, if my brother sins against me, Lord, what do I do? Shall I forgive him? And Peter says, seven times. How about seven times? Lord, that's pretty good. Somebody came to you and did you hurt or said something derogatory to you through the day. What are you supposed to do?
Forgive.
You're supposed to sock him in the mouth? Kick him in the shins? Supposed to curse at him? Say something? Of course not. That's not how you are to react when somebody does you wrong. The response should be, or at least we'll get into this, the attitude should be, I forgive him or her. I forgive him. Yeah. You don't have to say it out loud, but you should have the attitude of forgiveness in your heart.
Amen.
On all matters.
Amen.
There are not some things that you can forgive on and other things you don't have to forgive on. Some people have done that. They've put some forgiveness over here in this box, and that's just for this, and some over here in this box, and that's just for that. And this box here in the middle, no, I don't have to forgive in this box. I'll put all of those things in that box. No, that's not how the Word of God operates. That's not how God operates.
Amen.
He didn't pick and choose what He was going to forgive you for. Whatever it is that you've done in your life, He has forgiven it all.
Amen.
So Peter comes to the Lord and asks, I think this is an honest question. He just wanted to hear what the Lord had to say. He says, should I forgive him seven times? The Lord says, no. No, not seven times. He says, but 70 times seven. That's 490 times. Now let me ask you a question. You might be counting up to seven. You might count up to 10 or so. But 490, you lost count a long time ago. Long time ago. You're not counting. Listen, the point is, I think the Lord's trying to make is, you don't count how many times you forgive somebody.
Right.
You just forgive them.
Amen.
Now, the rabbis taught that a man could forgive somebody up to three times in a day. That's what the rabbis, the Jewish rabbis taught. Three times. You can forgive somebody three times on a particular thing, but in the fourth time, they said, you don't have to forgive them. So Peter was saying, Lord, let me do this. I'm going to double the standard, and I'm going to add one for good measure. Is that good, Lord? No, that's no good. you're going to 70 times 7. That's how many times, if you want to count them. Who's going to get up to 490 during a day? Did you know that the Lord initiated forgiveness in the Bible? You know where He initiated forgiveness? Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sinned against God. You all know the story. In chapter 3 of Genesis. There's the two trees, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. God said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the day that you eat thereof, that you're going to surely die. And God made it very clear. Adam didn't have to run and find a commentary on that verse. Chapter 2 that the Lord put, he didn't have to run to somebody else and say, now what do you think he means by this? If we eat this fruit, we're going to die. What does that mean? It's pretty self-explanatory.
Amen.
You eat the fruit, you die. Very simple. God made it simple, right? And what did they do? They ate the fruit. They sinned and they ate the fruit. Eve listened to the serpent there, and the serpent was tempting her, and she gave in, and she ate the fruit, but then she gave it to her husband, and Adam should have said, no, we're not doing that. We've had enough fruit for the day, let's get out of here. He didn't say that. He went right along with her. He ate the fruit, and the moment that they did, their eyes were open, they realized they were naked, sin had entered in, and God comes searching for them in the cool of the day, as He did every day. And this day, God couldn't find them. They were hidden somewhere in the garden. And so God calls out to them. And Adam responds. And Adam says that, hey, you know, we're hiding. We're naked. And God says, who told you you were naked? And Adam immediately starts to push the blame over to his wife. Right? That's exactly what Adam did. Gave the blame to Eve. Eve takes the blame and pushes it to the serpent. And we've been doing that ever since. Blaming somebody else for our own problems.
Yeah.
Our own problems. And so God then has to step in, and what's he going to do? He can't go back on his word. But he had a plan to help Adam and Eve. That plan was that God killed, I think it was a lamb. You can argue and say it was something else, but I think it was a lamb in the garden. I think he killed at least two lambs and clothed and made clothing out of the one and clothing out of the other. And then he clothed Adam and Eve with those clothes. But the blood had to be spilt in order to do that.
Yep.
The Bible said he clothed them with coats of skin. And so that means blood was spilt in the Garden of Eden, over the sin of Adam and Eve. When blood is spilt on behalf of somebody else, that shows forgiveness. So God initiated forgiveness in the Garden of Eden, and He continued it all the way through the Old Testament. Did Noah need forgiveness after he got off the ark and had his vineyard and drank of the wine and got drunk? And all the problems that happened after that, of course, he needed forgiveness, and God forgave him. Abraham comes along and he messes up. Abraham messes up. God forgives him. Isaac, Jacob, and the rest, they all come along and they all mess up. They all sin. What does God do? Forgives them. David, King David, you all know the story of King David, what he did. And he begs God for forgiveness. And what does God do? Forgives him. King Manasseh, one of the worst kings of Judah, not of Israel, but of Judah, was a horrible king. I mean, for over 50 years, I think like 54, 55 years, he worshipped the devil.
Yeah.
He had his own children killed, put into the fire. He observed the times. He observed the stars. He was in astrology. He was into all of that stuff. He just simply hated God for over 50 years. God sends an oppressor in, takes King Manasseh, takes him off to Babylon. King Manasseh is humbled and he repents and he trusts God. God forgave him of all of that horrible, wicked sin for 50 plus years. He was an idol worshiper. I mean, Manasseh was the worst. Read about him. Forgave him. Just erased the entire slate clean with King Manasseh. Allows him back from Babylon, back into the kingdom of Judah again and restores the kingdom to them.
Amen.
You talk about grace. That is one of the greatest pictures of grace in the Old Testament is King Manasseh. Read about it. It's amazing. But then again, read about you.
Yeah.
And think about your own life. And what you've done in your past. And how the Lord came along and forgave you when you needed forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. Forgiveness started in Genesis. And it goes right through Revelation. I found a verse, Revelation chapter 21. Look at verse 6. We see forgiveness in the entire Bible. Probably in every book of the Bible, forgiveness is. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." You know what that is? That's called forgiveness. That's called grace. It's kind of like it's God's middle name. Forgiveness. In his book, Lee, The Last Years, Charles Braceland Flood reports that after the Civil War, Robert E. Lee visited a Kentucky lady who took him to the remains of a grand old tree in front of her house. There she bitterly cried that its limbs and trunk had been destroyed by the federal artillery fire. She looked to Robert E. Lee for a word of condemnation of the North, or at least some sympathy with her loss. And after a brief silence, Lee said this, "Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it. It is better to forgive the injustices of the past than to allow them to remain, letting bitterness take root and poison the rest of our life." I like that. I like that. Jot this little point down. I got some points here in the message, and a little different than normal, but just write this. Forgiveness is love. Forgiveness is love. A couple married for 15 years began having more than their usual disagreements. They wanted to make their marriage work and agreed on an idea that the wife had. For 1 month, they planned to drop a slip of paper into the fault box. The boxes would then provide a place to let the other know about their daily irritations. The wife was diligent in her efforts and approach, leaving the jelly top off the jar, she wrote one day. Drop that in. Wet towels on the shower floor, she wrote that down. Through that. Dirty socks, not in a hamper. Wrote that down. Drop that in. Underwear, laying all over the place. Wrote that down. Toss that in. I mean, everything that she could, that irritated her by her husband, she wrote it down and put it in the fault box. That's the design of it. The month came to an end, and after dinner, the end of the month, they exchanged boxes. The husband reflected on what he had done wrong. And then the wife opened up her box and began reading. And all of the notes were the same. The message on every slip was, "I love you."
Aww.
I love you. Guys, don't you love that?
Aww, that's so sweet.
Could have been the other way around, though, too. But that's the illustration that I got. But that was, he just loved her. How do we get through life with the irritations that we have in our marriages, in our families, in our church? It's very simple. It's,
amen.
I love you.
Amen.
I love you.
Amen.
That'll get you a long way in life. I love you.
Yeah.
And Jesus really is the proof of the love that we have today. And the proof is there found in Luke 23. Luke 23. And look at verse 34. Probably know the verse, but Luke 23, verse 34. On the cross, Jesus is hanging there, dying, and he said about 7 different things that we know of that's recorded in Scripture. At least the 7 things that we know of is recorded. I don't think he said anything more because it would have gotten recorded, but we know of seven. And the very first statement that Jesus made while hanging on the cross were these words in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah.
Is that love?
Yeah.
I think it is. That's a great amount of love. Remember, Jesus was hanging there on the cross for you and for me. He was dying for us. He was dying for the entire world. He was shedding his blood for your sins and my sins and the sins of the entire world. And yet he cries out, not in defense of himself, but Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness was on the lips of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. You can take that verse and you can apply that to your own life. Your own heart. Your own soul. And thank God for that. John 15, 13. The Bible says this. Maybe you have it memorized. But John 15, 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend.
Amen.
There is no greater love when somebody dies for somebody else. That is the ultimate love. The sacrifice of one's life is showing the love that that person had for you. If somebody was willing to lay their life down for you, that's an amazing amount of love. But Jesus did that. And he died for every sinner in the world. Every sinner. You think about the worst sinner you can think about there. I mean, the man that did all of this, the lady that, I mean, you think about all of the sin that's out there. And yet he died for them.
Amen.
Died for every human being. Doesn't matter what country they're from, what color the skin may be. It doesn't matter any of that. He died for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're saved here today, you've been forgiven.
Amen.
Of all your sins. Slate is clean, washed completely clean. Erased. What a blessing. So forgiveness is love. It's when Jesus was hanging on the cross, that was that love in action. Romans 5:8, part of the Romans road that we talk about, but God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know how he did it, but he's God, and so he was able to do that. But hanging on that cross, I think that he had me in his vision.
That's good for you.
And all of my sins were placed upon him on that cross. If it was just me on the planet at the time, he would have died for me. If it was just you on the planet at the time, he would have died for you. And all of your sins would have been placed upon Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm not too bad of a person. I don't sin that much. Well, you sin enough to make you a sinner. One sin makes you a sinner. One lie makes you a liar.
Amen.
Secondly, write this down. There are two parts of forgiveness. God's part and our part. God's part and our part. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. There are, again, two parts of forgiveness, God's part and our part. Some people believe that they don't have to forgive certain people for certain things. Some people believe that you don't have to forgive unless they come to you and ask or beg for forgiveness. Or some people believe that. I don't need to forgive him or her. They haven't come to me and asked yet. Okay, well, that's kind of a sorry way to look at life.
Right.
So somebody does you harm, does you wrong, you're going to sit there and twiddle your thumbs waiting for them to come to you and ask and beg you for your forgiveness? Why don't you just humble yourself and forgive them before they even come to you? Why don't you have the attitude of forgiveness instead of waiting for somebody to come and ask you and beg you? You're setting yourself up on a higher plane than they are when you do that, by the way. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, the Bible says this: let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted. What's the next three words? Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So why should I forgive somebody else that's done me horrible, horrible wrong? The question may be. But the answer is very simple. The answer is given in that verse. Because God has forgiven me. That's why I forgive somebody. That's what the verse says. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And so the point, very simply, is this. I forgive because God has forgiven.
Amen.
I don't need to sit around waiting for you to come to me and beg for my forgiveness. The forgiveness should be there all the time.
Amen.
The attitude should be of a forgiving heart, a forgiving attitude. Person shouldn't even have to come and beg you for forgiveness.
That's right.
You should just forgive them. Forgive them the moment that they did something to you. You say, but preacher, you don't understand what so-and-so did to me. I probably don't understand it. And I may not know. And you don't have to tell me anything. But if you're walking around with that unforgiving attitude, you're walking around with bitterness in your soul, and that bitterness will end your life. It could end your life very, very sooner than normal.
Right.
Bitterness makes a lot of people sick.
Right.
Physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. A lot of it has to do with this unforgiveness today that people have. We're living in a society today that practically preaches and teaches outside of the walls of a church that you don't have to forgive somebody, just get even with them. Getting even is better than not. That's what people are being taught today. Just get even with them. That's not what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
That's not what God wants.
Amen.
One of the greatest examples of forgiveness found in Scripture is Joseph. In Genesis chapter 50. If you want a good example of forgiveness in the Bible, yeah, we could name a bunch, but I'll tell you one that just stands out beyond all the others is the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 50, and we don't have time, obviously, to get into the entire story of Joseph, but you probably, if you've been saved very long, you've read your Bible, you know the story of Joseph. His brothers wanted to kill him. His brothers hated him. His 11 brothers hated him, couldn't stand him. That's because God had blessed Joseph with the ability to understand visions and dreams, and Joseph brought a couple of his dreams to his siblings and to his parents, and they just didn't like what he had to say. And also, I don't like to admit this, but it's true that Joseph was Jacob's favorite. Shouldn't have favorites in your family. It's easy to have favorites in your family. But it's not a good idea to have favorites in the family. And so Jacob loved Joseph and made him a coat of many colors. You know the story. One day, Jacob sends Joseph off to find his brothers and bring him some food, some supplies, and they see him coming and they decide, let's get rid of this guy. And so they attempt to do that. They were going to kill him. One of the brothers, Reuben, I think it was, stopped the killing. And they threw him in a pit. And they were trying to contemplate as to what to do. And a bunch of Ishmaelites or whoever they were came by. And they were headed to Egypt. And they said, let's sell him to them. And then they can deal with him. And they do that. They pull them out. There we go. Sells them. And off Joseph goes to Egypt and spends the next several years in Egypt. Much of his time in Egypt, about 13 years, he was in prison because his brothers sent him off to Egypt. But God blesses him even in prison, exalts him in prison. And then after that, he becomes second in command of all of Egypt. He's the guy that's deciding who gets the food and how much. Well, his brothers come to Egypt to get some corn, get some grain, but they have to go in front of Joseph. They don't recognize him. Joseph is speaking Egyptian, and he's changed his looks. Obviously, he's grown up. He's an adult. He's no longer a 17-year-old. His garb is different. His tone is different. Everything is different about Joseph, except in his heart, he still knew who God was.
Amen.
And that never changed with Joseph. And so the brothers come, and Joseph recognizes them, and he plays a little game with them for a little bit. I always chuckle when I read the story about Joseph and his brothers being reconnected again, saying, you know what? There's not a whole lot found wrong about Joseph, but he still had a little game that he played with his brothers. And you can look at that as his sin. I don't know, but he could have had a whole lot worse done to his brothers. But he didn't. And in verse 15 it says this, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, Jacob, this is when Jacob died, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. His brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Well, his brothers ended up lying. Jacob never told them they had to go and do this. But you know what the whole thing about this is? Joseph had already forgiven his brothers.
Amen.
He forgave them way back a long time ago. He had that forgiving spirit in his heart that even when he was in the pit before he was sold into slavery, he still had that forgiveness. He had an attitude as a teenager of forgiving his own brothers. And so when they came begging for his forgiveness, he didn't even have to say, oh, all right, guys, I forgive you. He had already forgiven them by giving them the food and by nourishing them and helping them and bringing them back into the kingdom and bringing Jacob, his father, into Egypt to be taken care of. He forgave them a long time ago. That's the type of attitude that we need to have. Is a forgiveness that takes place right after the incident occurs.
Amen.
Forgive. Just forgive. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 20. Romans 12:20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what?
Feed him.
If he thirst, what?
Drink.
Give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Good. You know, it's kind of like when you're doing this, the kindness that you show could melt a heart to repentance and love. It's kind of like what Paul was saying there, when you're keeping coals of fire upon the head of this individual, you're hoping that that would melt his heart, that would soften his heart, or her heart for that matter. Into repentance and a love for God. And so you're not to, we're not to show evil to somebody because they hurt you, said something wrong to you. You don't say something wrong back to them.
Amen.
Somebody comes up to you and curses you in the face, you don't curse them back.
Amen.
You don't curse them back.
Amen. Right.
Somebody just sitting there like, yes, I do. Curse them back. I can tell them a thing or two. Yeah, I'm sure you can. But is that the right thing to do?
No.
No, of course not. The Bible says if you know that your enemy, the person that did you wrong, is hungry, you go and feed them.
Right.
You go and buy them a bag of groceries or give them a gift card to Aldi's or whatever, wherever. Like you go and you do something kind to them. That's what the Bible's talking about. You do something kind to them. You show them that you're not the same as they are to the point where your life is just a complete wreck because you're holding animosity and bitterness towards somebody. There are many people today that are sitting around holding all that bitterness in, and it's destroying them. It's killing them. 1 John 1:9 said that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
If we confess our sins. The Lord forgives us of all our sins. What have you done against the Lord that He can hold against you?
Come on, preacher.
Right?
Right.
Come on. Some of the things that you've done or maybe are doing right now in your life or are going to do in the future. I don't know what I'm going to do in the future, but the Lord even took care of those sins, my future sins, on the cross. I know you're sitting here saying that you're not that bad and not done that many sins. And you can probably count them on one hand. Yeah, right. Maybe today already you can count them. But listen, we've all done God wrong.
That's right.
We've taken His name in vain. We've gone completely against His commandments. Some of us probably have broken most of them, if not all. Right? The Bible teaches, James says, you break one, you're guilty of breaking them all.
That's right.
So one commandment, if you told one lie, you've broken God's commandment. If you've had any evil in your heart towards somebody else, you've committed the act as murder.
That's right.
If you've had an evil, lustful thought towards anybody, you've committed the act of adultery or fornication in your heart. Just ignoring God and His Word, you're not putting God first in your life. You can go down through those 10 commandments and listen, we are guilty of breaking all of them. But isn't it good to know that the Lord has forgiven us of all of our sins? Write this down. This is the third and final part. We'll be done. We need to be ready to forgive every time something happens. Write that down. I'll say it again. We need to be ready to forgive every time something happens. Now, don't say anything out loud, but let me just ask the question. Are you like that? Are you ready to forgive somebody when anything at all happens, minor or major? And you don't put the minor things off to the side. Oh, I can forgive those. Those are easy. Yeah, maybe they are. But how about the major things? The big news-breaking things, items that happen. I just jotted these four little things down as I thought about this. And I think this will help you. You might want to jot these down if you have a problem with unforgiveness. Number one, think about Christ on the cross and what He said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think we ought to think about that. If you have a hard time forgiving somebody, think about what Christ said on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Christ was offering forgiveness to anybody that wanted it. That's how we can be ready to forgive somebody any time that something is going on in our life. Think about what Christ did on the cross or said on the cross. Number two, just have forgiveness in your heart. Just have forgiveness there, ready and available every time you need it. And you're going to need it. You might need forgiveness today.
Right.
You might. Somebody might say something to you funny. You might get out of here and the pastor didn't shake your hand. Woo! That's a big one. Or the pastor didn't recognize you and say anything to you. Or somebody else in church didn't say something to you, you know, tell you what a wonderful person you are or something, and you're holding animosity towards that person. You better have forgiveness ready. It's just part of being prepared in life.
Amen.
Right? We like to be prepared for things. Well, how about having forgiveness in your heart? Stick it right in your pocket there.
Amen.
Right there. Put it right somewhere. I think you ought to put it up here next to your heart. Forgiveness. There it is right there. I guess forgiveness right there. But have forgiveness ready. Number three, write this down if you can. Be ready to say three words. I forgive you. Be ready to say them. I forgive you. Have it on the tip of your tongue. I know you don't want to shake my hand now because I just touched my tongue. I'll put some hand sanitizer on before I touch. But have it on the tip of your tongue. I forgive you. And you ought to also have this on the tip of your tongue. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Because you'll do somebody wrong. If you're married, you will do your spouse wrong. Guaranteed. Right? I wish I had a quarter for every time I've had to say, I'm sorry to her. I'd be a rich man right now. But just be ready to say, I forgive you. And be ready to say, please forgive me. And the fourth thing I wrote this down is just this. Always have an attitude of forgiveness. Have an attitude of forgiveness. You know the Lord had an attitude of forgiveness.
He sure did.
How often was He harmed? And not just physically harmed, but verbally harmed. Horrible things. I'll tell you another great example of forgiveness, and we don't have time to get into him, but it's Stephen.
Yeah.
Stephen, one of the deacons, one of the first deacons of that early church. They took him out after he preached a sermon to them, and they killed him. Just killed him. Stoned him to death. But on the tip of his tongue, see, Stephen was a man that was had every all these attributes that I just gave you. Because on the tip of his tongue in Acts chapter 7, verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. The man is dying. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. They're stoning him. They're killing him. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He had forgiveness in his heart. He had forgiveness ready when he needed it. You're going to need forgiveness. You better have it ready. Better have it ready. Because you're going to need it. You're going to need to say, I forgive you. You're going to need to say, please forgive me. Walk around with an attitude of forgiveness. It'll change your life. It'll make you feel better about your life. You won't walk around with bitterness and hardness in your life. You won't be walking around with your mind constantly, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with that person. I don't know. I'm trying to spray my partner. I don't know. There are people like that today. How can I get even with that? With her? How can I get even with him? Let me figure out a way. I'm gonna figure out a way to get even. There's people like that walking around here. That's a sad state to be in. Where you're looking for a way to get even with somebody. I know when you walk by in this chair, I'm gonna stick my foot out and I'll trip them. I'll show that pastor. Yeah, just wait, preacher. You walk by. Whoop, you get him. Show him a thing or two. But that's the attitude of some people. I'm not saying it here, but the attitude of some people is just that. Just wait. I'm looking for the opportunity to get even with so-and-so. What a sad way to live.
Amen.
Unforgiveness only leads to bitterness and defeat. Or leads. I can't think of anything good about unforgiveness. Your attitude might, yeah, I can get even with so-and-so. No, that only leads to bitterness and defeat. There are many today that are sick with bitterness And I'll tell you the cure is one word, forgiveness.
Amen.
One word, forgiveness. Will cure that sickness of bitterness that you harbor in your heart. For every sin that man has ever committed, God has provided forgiveness. Father, thank you for your forgiveness. We don't deserve it, but Lord, we just want to thank you today for it. What a blessing to be forgiven this morning, or this afternoon. What a blessing, Lord, to know that all of our sins are taken away, washed away. And they've been washed in your blood when you died on that cross. You are the epitome of forgiveness when you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, help us as Christians, help us as individuals to have that same kind of attitude as you did, as Joseph did, as Stephen, and many, many more. Lord, just work in our lives and work in our hearts. Lord, you know where we need forgiveness in our life. You know, Lord, what we're harboring in our hearts. You know if there's somebody here today with bitterness towards somebody. There may be some bitterness here towards somebody in this church. I hope that wouldn't be the case, but Lord, you know. So bring that to mind. Bring that.